Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "But they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God." They whose strength is their God. Now, it's pretty obvious that the good Lord has given strength to mankind. Not the strength our first parents had when they were brought into this world by the Lord without sin. No, we've gone far away from that one. And we're far away also from the patriarchs, the early people on this earth whose lifespan was considerably longer than ours. But we still do have strength. We have mental strength, we have physical strength, we have determination. We're able to build homes and pave roads and work on engines and unlock the mysteries of nature and make complex calculations, and we can do things like chemistry or astronomy or engineering or managing a business or a corporation. I've been watching the new social services building go up across the street, and it's pretty amazing. You think about all the planning and all the skill that has to go into something like that. And now they're doing the outside of it, and all the pieces of plywood are fitting together just right, like a jigsaw puzzle. It's amazing to be able to do such things. And the Lord God came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. Book of Genesis, chapter 11, Tower of Babel. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are of one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing what they propose to do now will be impossible for them." All that mental strength, all that physical strength, all that determination. And the Lord says, "I gave you these gifts, but something's getting out of hand. Something is getting out of hand." It's like my high school friend, my friend Leif, in high school, who had a summer job mowing lawns. And he was getting frustrated with his lawnmower because he thought it was running too slow. So he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to disconnect the Jerry gear off of it. We're just going to let it run full speed." And he did. And he got his work done faster. Until the engine overheated and it froze up. And that was the end of that. But it's a story we like to tell. We like to tell the story about people who by sheer ability and sheer willpower have overcome huge odds and huge opposition. But maybe you've noticed that the more we tell that story, the more we talk about it, the less and the less we mention the Lord. And the less we give glory to Almighty God. And once again, something's getting out of hand. And I say once again because it happens probably with each generation. You can go back to the Tower of Babel, I just mentioned that. Or I can go back to college days and remember sitting in a class and we were watching a film that many consider to be one of the finest films, finest movies ever made. And the film is Leni Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will, a woman director who put together, it's a magnificent film to watch, except for the topic. The topic is a glorification of Adolf Hitler's Nuremberg party rallies in the 1930s. Beautiful film. Sad topic. And then you have the Babylonians in the book of Habakkuk for today. They mock at kings, Rulers they laugh at. They laugh at every fortress that would oppose them. And then you got the wealthy and the powerful people in Habakkuk's day, and this is what he says. There's violence, there's lawsuits, there's strife. The wicked surround the righteous, and once again, things are getting out of hand. Now you can trace that all the way back to the Garden of Eden and our first parents as they stood at the base of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they basically said to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, for all your help. Now we're going to take it from here. We're going to handle things. Our will triumph, not yours." And look around you. Their will triumphed. Was it a good thing? Well, the danger of talking about things like this is that we just look at it as a history lesson. Those people back then, why did they do what they did? Better, though, is to hear these things and look in the mirror for ourselves and ask yourself the question, how many of my decisions do I just make and leave them unprayed about? How many times do I judge my life and my goals according to the standards of the people of this world rather than the Lord? How many times do I find myself desperate and I'm fervent in prayer and I search God's word when I'm deep in trouble, but when the sky's clear, then I say what? Well, I'm going to set my Bible down for a bit. I'm going to get back to that next week. Or I got to talk to the Lord, yeah, but I'll do that later today when other things are done. And in a way, you're just saying, I'll take it from here, Lord. I'll take it from here. But they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. It happened with our first parents. It happened at the Tower of Babel. It happened with the Babylonians. It happened with the wealthy and powerful people of Habakkuk's day. It happened with the Nazis. All of them had the same goal. They all ended up in the circular file. All of them in the trash heap. They were held guilty. The good Lord made an end of them. Which raises an interesting question, that is, why hasn't the Lord made an end of you or an end of me? Are we less guilty? Are we more faithful? Well, when you come into church, one of the first things that greets you as you come into the sanctuary is the reason why the Lord has not made an end of you. It's on the wall over here. It's the cross of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you look at that cross, what you see there is the triumph of the will. The triumph of your will. On the cross, you see somebody who was smashed to pieces because your will was done. On the cross, you see that because of all of your sins, he was smashed. You caused that. It was his grief in the garden because of you. His standing before Pontius Pilate because of you. It was his death on the cross because of you. Because why? Your will was done. And my will was done. But that very cross is the reason why the Lord hasn't made an end of you. It's the one thing that stands between you and the wrath of God. It's the one thing that assures you you have a gracious God, because on the cross, his will triumphed also. God's will triumphed over your will to sin. His will to save over your will to sin. His gracious will for you was done. And that's what keeps you going back to the Lord every single day. That's what keeps you coming to God in prayer, because you have a gracious God. And that's what kept Habakkuk praying. Even when he said in today's lesson, "How long, Lord, will I call for help and you won't hear? I cry out and you don't save." You hear a prayer like that and you say, he shouldn't talk like that. And I suppose that's right. He shouldn't be a person who complains to God all the time about this, that, and the other thing. And you don't want to be that either. But you know it's a good prayer still because of the faith that lies inside of it. A faith that expects God to be gracious A faith that keeps praying all the way to the end. Like the end of the book of Habakkuk, where you have one of the Bible's most beautiful prayers. And this is what he says. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like the feet of a deer, and makes me to walk on the high places. What you have there is something that just in tone, in just the way that it breathes, is so totally opposite of the triumph of a person's will. The triumph of your willpower. There's no will of yours left in that sentence there. There's just hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord, clinging to the Lord, hanging on to the Lord, hanging on to the triumph of his good and gracious and merciful and right and loving will. His will that is always done for his children in Jesus. It's like our little catechism says. It says, where you have forgiveness of sins, that's what you have on the cross. Where you have forgiveness of sins, you also have life and salvation. On the other hand, they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. And even if the prophet Habakkuk hadn't said anything, you would know that already because you remember the verses from the book of Proverbs. How do they go? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You got just the opposite of the normal human heart apart from the Holy Spirit. Here you do not have my strength is my God. No, you have my God is my strength. My Lord is my strength. And so today's lesson. Behold, as for the proud person, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Or as the New Testament would say later, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Because if you are the Son of God, you have grace, you got mercy to help in time of need, you got forgiveness of sins, you got life, you got salvation, you have Jesus. And Jesus is life itself. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.